Welcome to The Practical Intuitive, where each Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern, where host Robin Fritz explores mind, body, and spirit for the real world. Because we are all intuitives and healers, and we must all learn to love ourselves and live that love every day. Robin is a trained and certified intuitive and spiritual consultant and hypnotherapist with an international practice based in Seattle, Washington. As the practical intuitive, she covers personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice. It's all here. Readings, healings, and funny, warm, thought-provoking conversations. It's Robin Fritz, the practical intuitive, helping you mastermind body and spirit for the real world. No ifs, ands, buts, or BS ever.
Welcome to the Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. It's Robin Fritz. We are live in Seattle, Washington. So welcome. As you know, if you listened to my show before, my emphasis is that we are all intuitives and healers. We all have these abilities, and we just need to tap into them. So it's very practical skill set, you know, necessary for complete and well-balanced life. And every week I try to do my best to introduce you to different ways that we can learn to tap and use those skills. As we get started today, I want to remind you that you are always welcome to call in and ask a question or comment on the subject of the day, or get a quick reading from me or a guest if I have a guest on at that particular time. If you're shy, and I know people are shy, you're welcome to email me at my website, robinfritz.com. That's RobinFritz.com. But if you'd like to call in, that number is 202-570-7057. So with each show, the first thing we do is start out with getting us grounded and balanced in the space here today so that we can devote ourselves fully to the topic and really get involved with the community that Om Times has created for us. So with that, I bring in my crystal partner, Fallon. He is a citrine Lemurian quartz, a rare form of crystal, but he's also an ancient healer and truth bringer. And as you connect with him in this show through this hour, you can connect with him however your intuition works most strongly. So you may see pictures, hear him chat with you, feel his energy, or simply know that you're connected with him and with us in this show. So if you take your attention to the top of your head, there's where we're connecting mind, body, and spirit. And breathing down from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, just feel that line of energy and connection run through you. Release the cares of the day and everything that you're thinking about so you have this hour with us and for yourself. So breathing down from the top of your head, down your face, your shoulders, your chest, your hips, your knees, and your feet. That top of your head to the bottom of your feet. And just feel that energy flowing. And then as you reverse that, moving back up, you're welcome to allow that healing, supportive energy in to boost you up for the day. Breathing up from your feet, past your knees, your hips, your chest, your shoulders, and the top of your head. So today, we are going to be talking about energy healing and animal communication with my special guest, Joan Ranquette, who is a pioneer in the field of animal communication and energy healing. And oh my gosh, we have so much to talk about today. I know we could go on for hours, but my emphasis in my animal communication and healing work with animals and my own animal family is how do we deepen the bond with our animal companions? And I know my relationship with my animals has changed over the years. So back in the winter of 2001, it was that long ago, I was looking around for a new idea for a novel, and because I like to write jokes, I was looking for an idea for a comic novel. And this idea popped into my head about what if this woman and this dog could talk to each other? Like, wouldn't that be absolutely hilarious? And we could do some sort of a mystery novel. And I thought, that is just really awesome. And of course, I imagined a woman being me and the dog being a Cavalier King Charles Spaniel. And I was living with my first Cavalier Murphy Brown at the time. So I was imagining us in that role. It was on February 28th that year that we had a major earthquake in Seattle, and Murphy got us out of the house 2 minutes ahead of the earthquake. She literally went berserk. Now, I have shared this story in books and in my show before, but that was the day that I was like looking at her and going, wait, wait, wait. She knew that was coming before it got here. She knew that earthquake was coming. She literally went berserk 2 minutes before the earthquake. So then I'm thinking, huh, that idea of a comic novel, I'm wondering about that right now. Then I saw a woman on TV talking about animal communication, and I went, oh my gosh, this stuff is real. So then I thought, well, now what am I going to do? So I just started looking around, and in the fall of 2001 is when I met Joan. And Joan was teaching a 2-day workshop over on the east side. That's what we in Seattle call the other side of the Lake Washington, so the other side. And wow, I walked into that workshop that day and I met Joan for the first time, and I met a bunch of people, and I first thought was, I am the only sane person in this room. And what I loved about the day and what I have loved about Joan ever since is that here is a very practical person, very smart, very balanced. And the stuff she was talking about, I was like, what the heck? And she used examples, having us play together with our intuition back and forth, so human on human could learn a little bit about what was really going on with their intuition. And by the end of the weekend, I was like, wow, I'm part of these people now. I really understood what was going on, and the idea of the comic novel went somewhere else because I started really developing my own particular skills. But I wanted to tell that little story right before I brought Joan on because when there are a lot of people out there teaching animal communication these days, and my favorite thing about Joan is that she is real about making this a real part of our lives. So with that, I would like to welcome Joan Ranquette. Joan is really a best-selling author. She's an author of Communication with All Life and Energy Healing for Animals, and we are going to have fun today. So hi, Joan. Welcome. Thanks for joining me today.
Hi, thank you. I was hoping you'd tell that story because it's one of my favorite stories too.
So you remember that week. I remember the horse trying to bite me and you smirking and going, yeah, that happens to smart asses. But oh my God, that was an amazing weekend. That was a
Yeah.
very long time ago.
It was a very long time ago. I lived in Denver at the time, but taught in
That's right.
Seattle. And yeah. Yeah.
That's
I,
right.
you
I
know, in
didn't
some
meet
ways
you
I
again.
can.
Well, I didn't meet you again until 2012 when Murphy was dying. So
And it's
you were back
funny
in
that I
Seattle
can
then.
remember it. Yeah, and
I'm
I can
sorry?
remember. I was just going to say, I can remember all of it like it happened yesterday.
Right. Well, that weekend too, I was very, very sick to my stomach. And I remember coming in the next day, and I was real, my mind was really blown. And I think listeners will appreciate this. I mean, I had understood animal communication was real. I'd done some experimenting. I played with asking your dog what they like to eat and the hilarious results of that. But listening to other people share their experiences and understanding how we receive information, I think that was really the most important thing that I learned that weekend, and that's why I so love your having people play with sending each other an object, a colored object or whatever type of object to each other, because people then really see how intuition is really active in their daily life, even if they're not paying attention to it.
Yeah, it's true. And I love for people to get it with humans, because then it actually makes the animal communication part that much easier, because it's, we're denser.
Exactly. Exactly. Once we start realizing that it's real, and it, you know, plus as I recall that day, and I know that I have freely borrowed that exercise and I'll always credited you with it in the classes that I teach, but it's like, oh my gosh, when you find out how much information you receive every day, you can see how confused we are just in the daily life of our busy life, adding things to that. But I remember too from that workshop, coming in the next morning and being cold and being hungry and wanting oatmeal. And you were asking people how they were feeling that day. And when I said that, you said, oh, Gabrielle is hungry and is cold. Gabrielle being your horse that was joining
yeah.
us. And so that is pretty awesome.
And she loves oatmeal.
Yeah. And I was like, oh my gosh, you know, it was just a real eye opener for me. So Joan, tell us a little bit about your work now, because it's been many years since I met you and you were already doing animal communication and you are doing so much right now. So tell us a little bit about your work.
Well, I feel really, really lucky because every morning, even though, I mean, it's a lot of stuff I have to kind of sift through in the morning, but I just look at the day and go, wow, I get to do this.
And,
you know, some of it is, like this morning I was sorting out getting my visa for China because I'll be teaching in Beijing.
Right,
beginning
that is
of next
awesome.
Month. Yeah. And,
November.
And I feel like, yeah, it's a real opening, you know, and I just feel like right now I'm at a bunch of openings. Like I went to a college where they had an equestrian department. And so I've gone and talked, you know, started like, you know, I set the ball in motion. Well, first of all, I have a school for people to become animal communicators. And
exactly.
And so
and a pretty
I also
rigorous teach. Curriculum.
Yeah. It's no small thing. But I get to teach other places. And so one of my goals has been to get this into a college curriculum. And so the college I went to not only has an equestrian department, but they also have, it's one of the first and only pet-friendly campuses. So they even have a scholarship if you want to foster, and they have a program with the local foster or chapter in that town, Columbia, Missouri. This is at Stevens College. So not only do I now get to go down and teach animal communication and EFT, emotional freedom technique, tapping, to the equestrian students, I get to teach with the general, you know, population, the general education, teach animal communication for the kids that are on scholarship there with their foster animals.
That is awesome.
And then, yeah, I think so. And now we're, you know, in talks over the next couple of years, we're going to look at how we integrate even more of my online stuff for the students and connecting up with the vet school there at University of Missouri. So I feel like that is like one giant opening that is starting to take form in a big way. And
that's
that,
great.
You know, yeah. And then the other thing that I'm doing a lot of is I've been doing EFT, emotional freedom technique, tapping on animals in like the most unadoptable animals in a no-kill shelter called Best Friends of the Animals here in LA. So if I'm in town on a Friday, I'm at the shelter with one of the teachers in my program. And we tap on, we've got about 8 dogs that we're working with, you know, the behaviorists, the vets, the trainers, and the chiropractor. Like there's a team of us really working on that. So that's
to help them
my,
settle
yeah,
down
settled.
And find
yeah.
families.
Yeah.
And you're also, are you still doing the dolphin trips?
You know what?
Or you were.
I did 8 years, two trips a year, two trips back to back, and I missed that pod because it was the same pod. And somehow I need to get back down there. But right now, my focus, I transitioned my focus about 3 years ago to other types of wildlife. So I've done two
right.
trips to South Africa, one to Namibia and Botswana, took people to Borneo, and I have a Kenya trip and a Sumatra trip.
Yeah, that is awesome. And how do you feel about what people are experiencing on those wildlife trips? Because I know you'd, excuse me, I'm going to cough. I know you expanded into that.
I feel like there's so much, like you can never, you almost can't qualify it or quantify it. It's so big. And here's what I would say, and you'll appreciate this just from an intuition standpoint. I feel like words like love and joy and,
right.
Let's just take those two words. Those two words are like the teeniest containers for what's involved with it. And so the words don't even do it justice. So I remember the, you know, first few times I would come back from a dolphin trip and they'd say, how was it? I'd be like, it's amazing. Well, what
yeah.
happened? I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, how do you
right.
explain? And if you go into their nonverbal world, how do we come back to this with words about it?
It's all part of trying to find the connection that we can share.
Yeah.
Hang on, we'll be right back after the break.
Conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
Hi, this is New Age Grammy winner Paul Avgerinos. Thanks for listening to Om Times Radio, and please support my peaceful healing music with a purchase at iTunes, Amazon, or wherever you shop for fine music. Just put my name into the search engine, Paul Avgerinos. A, V like Victor, G like George, E-R-I-N-O-S. You can also visit me at roundskymusic.com. Thanks for listening, and I'm wishing you the brightest of blessings.
In the wake of a disaster, what one thing can you send that will help people the most? A blanket, a tent, a sandbag, a doctor. Actually, if you send a monetary donation, you send all these things. Even a small donation can make a big impact and can quickly become exactly what people affected by disaster need most.
In the wake of a hurricane, your monetary donation can make a huge difference to those in need. To donate, visit supporthurricanerelief.org. That's supporthurricanerelief.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. It's Robin Fritz. We're in Seattle, Washington, and my special guest today is animal communicator and energy healer, Joan Ranquette. So we were just talking, Joan, about your wildlife adventures and then explaining that experience in words when, you know, communicating with non-humans is not verbal, it's telepathic. But one thing I would add to that is my work, before I started working with people, was what most people would call esoteric, and that would be polite. Working with weather and land systems, working with non-humans that aren't animals. And what I appreciated about that is I think looking at your work, Joan, and looking at the work of other big name animal communicators, animal communication has been around for a long time now. And it's like it's the yeast in the bread dough. It paved the way for people to remember that we used to take our intuitive and healing abilities for granted. We somehow lost contact with that. And now we're looking at the beings that most react and to us and live with us are animals. And that's opened up the flow of energy, if you will, for the rest of us to come out and say, hey, all of this stuff is normal. It's basic stuff. You just need to learn to tap into it. But you're the people that really laid that foundation for the rest of us to step up and say, hey, we can do this and that, and we can all do this. So we're all grateful to you, number one, for that.
Well, thank you.
It is amazing stuff. So what I also am curious about, when I work with people, I am very matter of fact about intuition and healing. This is a natural skill. This is what we do now, stepping back from the wildlife stuff. In terms of our family, the human-animal bond in our family has been deepened because people are starting to look at animals as family members and have for long enough now that it's, you know, part of the culture. And I think that comes partly from the work that we're all doing in communicating with animals. Or is that just my thinking? How do you see that?
I mean, I think, you know, it's certainly, I love looking at some of these ancient pictures where you see, like, somebody's got this tent and their cheetah sitting out in front next to their Arabian horse and the hawk that's going to go find what they're going to hunt. So I think the family has evolved. I think that there's some people have always thought that animals were their family, but yeah,
right.
I think that we're definitely talking about it. We're bringing it to the forefront. We're making it, visible. And in doing that, I look at, you know, we don't have, not as many people have children, not as many, although there's 7 billion people on the,
we have enough of those.
But there's, you know, so there's people's values and priorities have changed and it isn't. So in that way, I think it's a natural next step for people to recognize their animals as family. And I think that many did, but they just were kind of in the closet about it and it wasn't as accepted.
And they weren't talking about it as much. I know in my own development, years ago when I lived in Michigan, I had an English Cocker Spaniel named Maggie. And I brought her home with me after I got divorced and moved back to the Northwest. And my mom said to me, she says, well, you think of her as your child. And I go, like, no, I don't. She's my dog. And I think back about that now, and I think about the things that I've learned. And I think for me, my life has been a process of continuing to grow and learn. I hope growing up more. As I get older, I still think I'm like too young to be married or to have like human children, but then that's my own head right there getting messed up. But what happened over time, and I was thinking about this, I was finishing up my book and my dogs and my cats and the whole process of dying and coming back again, and just how we created those families. And I think I learned things from my animals just like they learned from me, which I think is what families do. We grow together. We're supposed to grow up and learn from each other and grow our souls in that connection if we're going to have family members at all. But back then with Maggie, I thought, okay, she's a dog, and she taught me to respect her as a being, as a soul. And when then Murphy came along and we stumbled through our communication and we stumbled through our messed up energy lines, and we can talk about energy healing here, I realized what was happening in the process of Murphy and Murphy learning to put me putting soul front and center, understanding that our souls are real and that's part of our life. We don't always think about it. We're so busy out there doing the practical everyday things. We don't think about the whole mind-body-spirit connection in our daily lives. And I think that's where people are really growing these days, maybe because there are so many outlets through books and podcasts and so on and so forth. But I learned that in context with my animals. And it's not that I was asking them, like a lot of people are asking them to be their teachers and healers, which I just cringe at. But we were learning up. I call it the process of learning up. From ancient necessity, where we banded together to survive, to heart and soul growth in this time, where we can look at each other as family members and not distinguish between family based on the body that that soul is wearing. So that's a long ways of talking about how we're growing up from different experiences and learning from them and incorporating in those in our lives and continuing to move forward. How do you think over time your animal communication practice has moved forward as more and more people are opening up?
How do I think my animal communication is?
Has grown because, you know, in the beginning we're trying to just get people to understand that, yes, they can connect with an animal, to really creating this soul connection with them so that more and more people are looking at them as animals, as family members. And then we're looking at that as a, you know, mutual responsibility to take care of each other in a family, however that family works. So more and more people are tapping into that. Now, from the beginning of your animal communication to practice to now, what kind of growth opportunities are you seeing or changes that you're seeing in, you know, your general practice, the people that are coming to you?
Quite honestly, not much, because I've
really?
I always had those people. Yeah, I always
well,
had
that's
those
true.
People. And
I
mean,
understand.
The one thing I will say is probably more heterosexual guys call me for a session. You know, it's
oh,
not just
always
the wife.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not just the wife anymore. Sometimes it's the husband. I have a couple of married couple clients that it's the husband that makes the appointment.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so that I would say is a shift. And, I want everybody to be on the phone, or I want everybody to, you know, be there if I come to their house. So I don't, you know, in that, but I always had the intention that those were the kinds of people that I would get. So, you know, every now and then I get a wing nut, but it's been a few years. And I feel like... I feel like even in my classes, the tribe is more easily coming together. It's more and more, you know, the right people are just coming together and are clicking. Like I've got a workshop in about, on the 12th, and I have I'm hosting a workshop actually with Linda Tucker this next weekend on the White Lions, the Lionhearted
right.
Leadership. And that, you know, a few of those people I don't know, but I know it's going to be amazing and it's going to be the right people. But in my own workshop, there's several people I don't know. And I would say that, you know, there's probably half of the class are people that are already in my program, and half of the class are people that are, you know, either new to me or have been clients. And it's just always fun for me to watch as it clicks right off the bat with
right.
who becomes, you know, how this tribe is just evolving. So I think,
right.
yeah.
Well, the question comes around to, okay, I've had lived 20 years with Cavaliers, and before that I had the English Cocker. My mindset has changed about my animal family over the years. You know, I really do call them my kids, but I, you know, I'm not like crazy about, I understand they're not humans, and that's fine with me. I don't care whatever. But what I'm noticing is that more and more people are more open. I mean, more open to really sharing their lives with animals. I did an event downtown called Dog Fest in May. I was the animal communicator, and it was on the Amazon campus. And so there were a bunch of people doing different things. Several of us gave a little talk, different veterinarians and trainers and so on and so forth. 50,000 people on the Amazon campus with 8,000 dogs. They have a full-time dog wrangler.
That's awesome.
And my mind is blown. You know? Like, there's 1,000 people and their dogs there.
That
and it was
funny.
Awesome. It was totally awesome. There was one guy with a bulldog all dressed up, and he was playing with it. And I looked over at him, and it was May, right? And I said, oh, so you and your dog are going to the royal wedding, huh? As the dog was wearing a little fascinator, you know. And he looked at me, and he said, thank you. You're the only person who understood what the costume was about.
That's so funny.
But these people are having fun, right? And there's a whole culture. Maybe I'm sure it's in other places, not just in Seattle, although Seattle is known, I don't know if this is true anymore, of having more dogs than kids. But a whole culture of accommodating our lifestyle into our work environment.
Yeah.
And that's,
I mean, you
know, that's a huge deal.
Yeah, and I would say that this is what I, when, you know, when I rethink that question, it's not so much the people, the types of people that come to me have always seen their animals as family. That's
right.
Just been a hands down, always been there. But what I have seen is, I used to joke that in the 90s, everybody had a Marley and Me. Everybody had that dog Marley. And more and more people are understanding a bit more about dog behavior itself, so they're not, so that they're speaking in dog language, you know, not putting inappropriate pressure on an animal that is, you know, that is confusing for a dog, right? Just
exactly.
Because we don't understand their signals. So I think more and more people are getting educated about, you know, signaling and food and energy and, you know, that part has really, I've loved watching that evolve.
Right. Now I'm going to maybe touch on something that may be a little controversial. I don't think so for you. There's a lot of people who call themselves animal communicators who are out there teaching people that animals are our teachers and our gurus, and they're in charge of healing us. And that drives me nuts.
It makes me nuts, and I'm really glad that I'm...
Good. We're nuts together. That's why I invited you, because first of all, I know you and I know what your practice is. Very inspiring, deeply moving, and intensely, completely, eminently practical. And that's what we need to be.
Totally. The thing is, what is the difference between expecting your animal to be your healer and or your teacher?
Going to the
circus. I mean, it's the same amount of pressure. It's the same amount of entertainment.
Right. And I have worked with people. I was in another workshop. Actually, the workshop that spurred me into starting my own workshops on all kinds of different subjects, not just this. But watching the pressure on animals when people were like, oh, this cat is my healer. And I try, when I put out notices on this subject we're going to be talking about on animals on the show today, how do you think about them? And a lot of people think, well, they are wise healers, or they teach me, or they're going to save me from myself. And part of it is loneliness, I think, on the part of some of these people. And part of it is, you know, kind of a misunderstanding about what the human-animal bond really is. And I think it's too much pressure on the animals. And what I see is the animals withdrawing or breaking down with health issues or going, just for God's sakes, go away. Which is sad.
Well, I mean, I think that when we have to look at them, to me, it's the ultimate anthropocentrism, because
exactly,
you're still looking at them for in relation to us rather than seeing them for who they are.
Exactly. Totally. And if there's one thing that I would tell people is, you know, I went on a walk with Ollie yesterday. I don't know if you've met Ollie. You've heard about him. He's my third cavalier.
Yeah, I haven't met him yet.
You have not met him. He's a wild man. He was coming back before I knew he was. Oh my gosh, that's an amazing story. But Ollie is this amazing. Well, Cavalier boys are little Velcro dogs. He's still kind of a Velcro-y kind of personality, but he's this amazing dog, and he loves everybody, and he has a huge fan club at the beach because everybody is his new best friend. But here's the thing. You go on a walk with them, and we'll be back after the break, because I want to ask you about energy healing too. Hang on.
Conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose: to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going Om? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers, pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Hi, this is recording artist and composer Yuval Ron, inviting you to a voyage through the chakras, a new double album of guided meditations to transform your life, a sublime musical medicine for nourishing inner peace and reaching to your higher virtues. Get it now at metamindfulnessmusic.com, M-E-T-T-A, mindfulnessmusic.com.
911, what is your emergency?
My kid shot himself.
All right, where's the wounds?
911, what's your emergency?
Please help. My son shot his brother.
911, what is your emergency?
Okay. 911, please state your emergency.
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns.
It wasn't locked.
Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Welcome back to the Practical Intuitive Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. It's Robin Fritz, and we're talking with animal communicator and energy healer Joan Ranquette. So we're almost out of time, Joan, and I had lots of other questions I wanted to ask you, so we're going to go boom, boom, boom. But one of the things I wanted to ask you, the other day I was coming home from a walk with Ollie. We were inside. I took his harness off, and I turned back to him, and I said, "Thank you for taking me on a walk today." And I thought, you know, that is it. That's really it. It's like treating animals like you would anybody else in the family. So what do you think?
I agree with that 150%. And I want to go back to the teacher and healer thing, too. I'm not saying that some aren't great healers and some aren't great
teachers. Oh, absolutely.
But they're also friends. And they're also funny, and they're also a million other things. So I don't like assigning any one giant title to someone when the it's way more dynamic than that. So I just wanted to clarify that. That sometimes we live with a great healer or a great teacher, but
we
also live with a dog, and that's awesome, or a cat, or a horse.
I know, I remember attending one of your little workshops here in Seattle, and you looked at me and you smirked and you said, "Well, Robin's," you kind of laughed because, well, Robin's animals have cosmic jobs, but everybody has a job, and my animals do have cosmic jobs. They're jobs they chose for themselves, and I'm just creating the space for them to live their lives so they can do those jobs.
Yeah, Ollie, that's how I feel about my animals.
Exactly. Ollie announced, when he announced he was coming back, he's Alki reincarnated, and he announced he was coming back, and I had to find a breeder and then get him in a body and then find him in the breeders, and that was from 2,000 miles away. He was very adamant that he hadn't finished with me. He loved being a dog, and he had work to do. He's 3 years old, and he's still loving being a dog, and he hasn't done one thing about the big job that he came here to do. And I said, "That's fine with me. You know, if you change your mind, that's fine. You do what you do, but here you are. Let's enjoy this life together." And I think that's what's important in creating families of any kind of persuasion, whatever they look like, is supporting each other in the work their souls came here to do and having fun and getting through the good and the bad times together. And what else is there? So who knows, right? So tell us, what is the main thing you think people should know about animal communication with their animal families? What's the main thing
that
you want them to know?
That we're all doing it all the time.
Exactly.
You're already doing it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's the same thing I tell people about intuition. You're already using your intuition. You might as well fine-tune it so it's working for you. Awesome. So to be an animal communicator, all these people out there that are thinking, I'd like to be an animal communicator. What would be the number one thing you'd think they'd need to be a good animal communicator?
First and foremost, being able to quiet your mind. Secondly, to really know your mind so that you would be able to easily and effortlessly recognize the difference between your own thoughts and what somebody's telling you. And third would be always put yourself in a situation where you are supported and the information is verified in the beginning. And practice in a guided situation. I have, you know, students all the time that are like, "Oh, we're just kind of practicing with each other. We're just going to make a practice group." It's like, Yeah, that's awesome. Because you know what? Animal communication is not by democracy. So what happens with no guidance is people start finding false ways in which they believe that, you know what I mean? They're not building the proper telepathic muscle. They're building kind of a collective muscle. And you really need to go to the gym yourself. You know what I mean?
Right. Work on it yourself. Well, everybody's intuition runs differently. But then we tend to get bogged down in the current mindset, like, oh, everything happens for a reason and all those kinds of things that make no real sense in the world. But moving on, we didn't even get to talk about your book, Energy Healing for Animals. This is an amazing book. This is like the book. And I know you're the expert on energy healing, which is awesome. But if people were going to explore energy healing with their animals, what kind of advice would you give them on that? Where should they start?
I mean, I have a few videos on my YouTube channel, but, you know, just on sort of like basic grounding, the bladder technique, just being able to ground your animal by stroking from the top of the head to the end of the tail, that's always a really good thing. I've got some EFT, emotional freedom technique things up there. I've got, you know, I think understanding the chakras and work like that is really great. I have a series of articles coming out in the Equine Wellness on horse equine chakras. It's a pretty fun series.
That'd be cool.
I'll have a series coming out about dog and cat chakras as well. And then, it's just kind of understanding the energetics of your own animal companion. Just a moment ago, just before we came on, my assistant was reading one of my blogs to put some pictures in, and she said, and she comes from an animal training background, right? And she said, well, Joan, all training isn't pressure, because I wrote in there that, you know, this blog was about how performance, whether it's horse shows or dogs in movies or guide dogs, there's a certain amount of pressure involved with those jobs. And I said, you know, to some degree, all training has an element of pressure. And she's like, well, there's positive reinforcement and there's negative reinforcement. I said, doesn't matter if it's positive or negative, it's not natural to their beingness in the canine world. Us asking them to sit is not something they do. So we can do it nicely and we can do it mean. It's still pressure for them. It's still a different type of way in which we're being. So really, when you're looking at, you know, the your household and you want to get started with energy healing, just really look at how easy or hard it is for your animals to do something that you're requesting, seeing how much they respond to your own energy, seeing how much your own energy affects them. Those are some of the best places to start. And then really recognizing, you know, that there's, like, I personally teach people the scalar way for more medical situations, and then I teach people EFT for more behavioral. But they're interchangeable, because at the end, all healing comes down to relaxation. So, you know, you're getting, you know, the very seed of healing starts with relaxation. So anything you can be doing to kind of calm your household down is really it. Does that help?
Yeah, I think, kind of the idea of the energy healing with animals kind of goes back to, you know, how you view them in general. And it goes back to my objection to looking at animals as teachers and gurus and healers, because there's a tremendous amount of not just emotional but energetic pressure that you put on them, and energy is real, and that pressure can just really knock them sideways, and it knocks us sideways too, because it takes us away from managing our own bodies. An example of that would be when I first met you and did that weekend workshop, I was experimenting with energy, not really completely knowing what I was doing. And that weekend, I was pregnant with puppies, literally. And I didn't realize what it was because it went on for the next few months. But that was Alki being born, and I was connected to his mother. And I was, you know, chatting with her and, like, show me how you feel. And not realizing that you're taking in that energy and it's affecting you, whereas you could, you know, you could, they could find a different way of explaining how they're feeling without your energy becoming entangled and messed up that way. And I say that as a joke, pregnant with puppies, but I literally had symptoms. I mean, I went right up to having those puppies born on Christmas Day that year. But the other thing is, I think when we're creating these family situations, you've got the energy lines connecting to family, which happens naturally as we go about our day. So grounding and balancing, yes, to make sure everybody's energy is where it should be with them.
Well, it's funny you said last week in my blog, I had my assistant make an illustration from pictures of me and my dog of putting an energy bubble around yourself
right.
and your animal so that we're not always enmeshing, that it's like I can be sad and you can be full of fun, or we can
right,
both be
exactly.
sad, or you can be sad and I can be full of fun, but we are not these things because we're carrying some contract together that's bringing the other one down. We're autonomous and yet in a home as a family.
Right. And our emotions and our thoughts affect each other, but it doesn't mean we have to carry everybody's burdens.
Correct.
Oh, we are like almost out of time here. So Joan, we could talk for hours in here, and I just this morning came up with some questions. I'm going to try to stump Joan. No, I'm kidding. But I know you have really important things to say, and you're an extremely well-grounded and balanced person, which is what I appreciate. And somebody asked me in an interview of my own recently, and I thought, well, I kind of like to adapt that question. So if you're looking back to Joan graduating from college, not that long ago, right? what advice would you give Joan graduating from college?
You will still have a bunch of horses. I'm kidding.
And you do.
Yeah. You know what? I mean, I think that what I would have said is that because I feel like when I went to college, I feel like I kind of came out for the first time as an intuitive, an empath, because I was really there as an actor, and I had all these. I think a lot of people go to the arts because they don't know where to put their empathy. And
that's true. I was one of those
people. And so I feel like I would have told myself not to get so caught up on the details of pursuing this acting life, that it was really all about more an empathic, intuitive world, and that just to go with the flow, because I probably would have been an animal communicator a lot sooner.
Yeah. I kind of agree with that for me, too. I'd say more like stand up for myself. Be who you want to be. So, Joan, tell people how to get a hold of you.
My website is JoanRanQuet, or you can find my my Facebook author page is Joan Ranquet, Communication with All Life. But my website, I'm on Instagram. I kind of tweet, but I'm more of a Facebook girl.
Yeah, whatever works, right? Thank you so much for joining me again.
Thank you.
It's
this was
Joan
so
Ranquet.
Fun.
It is fun, and her books, Communication with All Life and Energy Healing for Animals, you have to have these books. Energy Healing for Animals is awesome, and the world is grateful to you for taking the time to write that. So thank you, Joan, for joining us today, and we will talk again.
Thank you.
Take care.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Bye. Thanks. Bye.
So everyone, as we're wrapping up today, I'd like to thank you for joining us. Coming up here, we are going to be talking to several authors about their books about science and intuition and how all of those things come together. And I'm going to be talking about what I facetiously will call ghost stories, but actually experiences in the world with space clearing, the things I've learned from space clearing, how I've learned about the things that can be stuck in our spaces and how that might have led to ghost stories. So we're going to be talking a lot more about intuitive and healing subjects coming up, which is always the subject of the show, but you are always welcome to email me with questions, with comments, with things that you'd like me to cover in a show. And that's at robynfritz.com, RobynFritz.com. And I do personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, soul progression clearing, past life regression, between life regression, and my own form of energy healing. And so as we wrap up for today, let's get us grounded and balanced, close down that connection with Fallon. You may have found yourself lightheaded. That's going to close down now by crossing your hands over your heart, breathing into the palms of your hands, allowing energy to come in, get you grounded and balanced so you can go about your day. Thank you for joining us, and we'll be back next week. Take care.